start our recording now. So welcome, everyone, to the Victim to Visionary call series. This is call number one in a series of three calls. And my name is Tamsi Trail, and I'm the host and creator of this series. And you can find me over at TamsiTrail.com or also right now over at VictimToVisionary.com, which is the main site for this program. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what I do, and then I'm going to dive right into the content because I have a lot of really good information for you tonight. So I want to make sure that we have a lot of time to get it all in. We're doing three calls in this series, and the first call, which is tonight, is where does our mentality come from? It's going to be a discussion so that we can understand the basis of how we think and why we think and where it came from and what we can do about it if it's not working for us. Call number two in this series is called what is our mentality costing us, down to the dollar. Next call, which is Wednesday, I want us to really go through a process where we can figure out in our lifetimes what we've wanted and haven't gotten from our mentalities and how we can figure out what it's actually costing us so that we'll be inspired to change it sooner than later and get on with the life that we'd like. The third call, which is on Friday afternoon, we're going to be discussing the visionary mindset, how to snap into it instantly, and how to transition from being in a painful sort of space of lack and limitation and vision and victim mentality into a visionary mindset, and how to get into that and get into that in a very quick and easy way that you can start to choose it every day so that you can start to transform your life and also to start to attract the things into your life that you're really wanting instead of more of the same that you don't want. So my name is Tamsi Trail, and I teach self-responsibility over at my main website, which is TamsiTrail.com. I'm a certified NLP practitioner, and I work with individuals one-on-one and in group coachings. I also write and author a blog, and I lead group programs virtually and live and in person. So Victim to Visionary is a program that's I'm very, very passionate about. It's been something that I've wanted to do for a couple of years now, and it's been slowly putting together. And so I'm very, very excited that this moment's finally here and that we're all coming together to talk about this really important subject. Why I think it's so important is because our mentality really creates the lives that we get to live. And our individual mentality creates the communities we live in, and the communities that we live in create the world that we live in. And so I truly believe that my life's work and my purpose is to help wake individuals up to the mentalities that they are perpetuating in their lives when they're not working for them, so that they can evolve as individuals, because self-improvement is the core instigator of community improvement, and community improvement is the core instigator for world and social improvement. Okay? It all starts within the individual, and it all starts with the change that you want to see in the world. A lot of us have heard those concepts and have intellectualized the concepts of change for a really long time. I know probably everyone on the call tonight is no stranger to, you know, wonderful books about self-improvement or change. And while I know that a lot of us have been to the seminars, we've read the books, we've seen we've talked to therapists or done different things to sort of help us become the most successful that we can be in our lives, and within a few months, life change doesn't happen. And so this process that I have sort of created and this conversation that we're going to have tonight is going to start to shed some light on why that is, why we resist change at a subconscious level and at a core level. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the content for tonight. If you're on the web and if you're watching this from the Instant Teleseminar webpage, you will see on the left-hand column that there is a category called slides. And when you click on that, we're going to – it's not necessary that you have the slides up. But if you do see them, then you know, you can go ahead and watch along there. So the first place we're going to start is at our birth and where this whole story begins, because the victim mentality really plays itself out through the stories that we tell. So let's take it all the way back to the beginning of time, to the beginning of our individual stories. I'm going to lay down a little bit of foundation, a little bit of philosophy tonight, and a little bit of foundation about where we come from, where our mentality comes from, and how that affects our entire life and how successful, happy, and financially stable and loving and loved we are for the rest of our lives. So we're going to go ahead and start. If anyone can view the slides, that's great. It's not really working for me quite yet, but I'm sure that I'm just not clicking on the right spot. The first thing that I want to talk about is our birth. We are born into the world as a completely what I call a blank slate. Okay, so I just want you to use your imagination. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about the process of life and about the philosophy that underlies the work here at the Visionary Program. So start to hear the story and use your imagination and sort of put your pictures in place that are really going to identify what we're talking through. So basically, we're born, and we're born into the world as these beautiful, beautiful babies, and we're born, and we're basically a blank slate whenever we come into the world, okay? The characteristics of a blank slate are that we are open. There's a little bit of noise on the line, so I'm going to say if there's anyone that's got some movement or something going on, if you could just press *6, it'll really help the recording so that everyone who's, yeah, that's better. Thank you. Thank you. Alrighty, so we're starting out in the world as a blank slate, okay? We're coming into the world and we have nothing but success. We're born to be a success. We're born to be the absolute most powerful person that we know. We're born and we're the seed of potential. We have every possibility that we can create for ourselves comes with us whenever we enter, whenever we first enter the world. And the characteristics of ourselves at that point in life is that we are open, we're absorbent, and so we're pristine and virginal and naive and innocent. We're hopeful and we're happy and we're whole and we're energetic and enthusiastic and impressionable. We're vulnerable and we're new and we're young and we're accepting. We're loving. We're clear, we're calm, and we're authentic. Okay, so just allow those words as you hear them to sort of put a picture together of you, yourself, and who you were as a child and as a baby coming into the world with all of those characteristics present in you, that absorbent, receptive, innocent, clear, loving, authentic space that you held in your mind and that way that you were in the world. Because regardless of where we are now in our lives, we were that way in the world initially and one time before. So I just want everyone to reconnect to that. So once we're in our stage called the blank slate, within the first few years of exposure to the world, we live in something called a family dynamic. Okay? So within the first few years of being exposed to the family dynamic, the blank slate in its hyperabsorbent phase, it becomes saturated with that dynamic. As the family dynamic plays out around it, the blank slate and you and who you were as a child is completely absorbing all of this information from the family dynamic because that's its primary source of information. The family dynamic is its primary source of nurturing and its primary source of experience, okay? So within that, you take this blank slate, you take this beautiful, pristine, open, young, loving, clear, calm, and authentic being, and then applying the family dynamic to that, we start to learn things. Initially, we learn about men and women because we have parents. We have usually a mother and a father. And we start to absorb information about men and women from them. We start to learn about love. We overhear things in the house, so we start to learn information about the world. We absorb our family's dreams from hearing them talk about it, from feeling them express it around us. We get shocked about things that happen around the house. We get shocked if we walk through the yard as a child and a bee stings our toe. That's a little bit of a traumatic experience for a child. Parents fight, so we have different kinds of experiences that shock us. We become exposed to a very specific view of the world based on the conversations and the friends that our family keeps. We have thought forms. We have opinions, thoughts that form. We learn about chaos and confusion. We learn about security and wholeness. We develop ideas and values. All of this is being really absorbed in. The family dynamic is at work, working on the blank slate. And we are filming as an absorbent being in these very early stages of life. We're filming every second of it. Okay? So it's the wonderful process of life, and I'm sure that this process is not something that you're new to, or maybe it is, but regardless, the important thing is that we understand where we're coming from, all right? So based on where we're coming from, we take all of these things that we've absorbed and all of these lessons and all of these dreams that our family has, our dreams, the ideas, everything that we've filmed and everything that we've absorbed, in the earlier years of life, we take all of that and then we move from childhood and early childhood, we move into young adulthood and we take everything that we've gotten. We take all those perceptions and all those ideas and all that energy and all those experiences and all the stuff that we've sort of gathered up, let's say within our first 15 or 20 years of life. We take all that with us, and with all of that in tow, we go out into the world, okay? And we go out into the world with three things. We go out with perspective. We go out with a paradigm, which is a system of rules that determines what we believe. And we go out with internal programming, which is the programming that tells us how we work, like how we function, what we like and don't like, our programming and how we respond to the world. So we take all of this early experience, we go out into the world with our perspective, our paradigm that we function in, that we believe the world to be functioning in, and the programming of how we are reacting to the world. We are going out into the world and we're pursuing our lives with this. Okay, so our mentality has started to form at this point. We're out in the world, and at this point, we are pursuing life in four quadrants, okay? So if you imagine an X, like a T drawn down the center of a piece of paper, and you can even do this now if you're sitting at your desk and you have a piece of paper, go ahead and split the page into four boxes. So draw a big line down the middle of the page and then a big line down across the page so that you have four quadrants. The four quadrants of life are the self. The next box is food. The box below that is money. And the box to the left of that is love. So if we go clockwise, self is in the upper left-hand corner, food is in the right, money's below, and love is on the left. So self, food, money, and love. These are the four quadrants. So we go out into the world, and what that means is we're pursuing those things. We go out into the world pursuing ourselves. We want to know who we are. We want to know how to feed ourselves and dress ourselves and how to, what jobs to choose and which friends to make and which relationships to get into and which hobbies to develop. We're pursuing ourselves in the world. Then we're pursuing our food. And food isn't only what we eat. It's anything that nurtures us. So we're pursuing our social circles. We're pursuing our experiences and also our self-care routine and the food that we eat as well, how we nurture and nourish ourselves. We pursue jobs. So the money category comes up. We go out into the world, we pursue money. We want to provide for ourselves, and we want to stabilize ourselves and build some wealth and some prosperity so that we can enjoy our lives and have what we want. So we go out and pursue that money. And then we want to share everything with others. We want to feel the connection in life, and so we pursue love. Okay, so that's the explanation of the gist of it for each one of those quadrants. So as we will move through that and we joyfully head out into our beautiful young lives, we start to have some experiences, okay? And the early adulthood experiences, we all sort of have them. Everyone has their first broken heart. Everyone has their first horrible job. Everyone has their first, you know, bad experience at a rock concert that they actually find out they hate rock music. You know, we go out into the world and we have our first experiences. We start trying things out. And as we gain a little bit more momentum and experience down the road, we realize that we start to shape what we actually like and what we actually prefer and what we would prefer to be experiencing in the world, okay? As we start to do this, what we want and what we desire and what we're going to go after starts to become really obvious to us. And so it's in the pursuit of these things and in the finding results that we don't want that we can start to really develop a mentality that over a long period of time does not necessarily work for us. So I'm going to talk for a second about that specifically, pursuing results in the world and them not going so well and how we react to that, okay? Whenever we pursue a job and maybe we don't get it, or we pursue love and, you know, it doesn't really happen, or we try to take care of ourselves and we aren't really doing so well, maybe our weight is fluctuating or we're having mood swings and we're not really sure how to parent ourselves, all of these things are revolving around our self-care routine, our personal perception of ourselves, and how we are creating our lives, okay? So if our lives are not rolling out perfectly, over time, we can start to feel like we don't deserve for it to roll out perfectly. Over time, we can start to notice that our core perceptions and paradigms and programming is not really working for us. I mean, maybe we don't identify it to be our perception, our programming, and our paradigm. Maybe we just say, you know, life isn't working. Life stinks. Life is hard. Like, things are not just coming to me really easily, and why is that happening? So when we find that life is not rolling out perfectly, okay, I don't know if any of you can relate to that. If you can, you can just press star 2 to raise your hand. If you are someone out there, if you are someone who's pursued things in life that you haven't gotten very easily, you know, it's pretty standard. It's the fact of life. Things take work. So once we start to recognize that we want things and they aren't just coming to us very, very easily, we start to need to figure out why, okay? And it's in doing that that we can come across some internal ideas and some internal experiences that we've internalized from our early years. We can come across some of these things and we can start to feel uncomfortable with them because we don't understand them. We can come across them and we can be afraid of them, so we can suppress them and push them down. So any time that we are confronted in life by pursuing something and not getting a result that we'd like, whenever we look at why and we see what it might be about, what might be holding us back, and we push it down, that's called refusing to take responsibility for it, okay? And this is where our victim mentality starts to become born, because over time in life, if the results are not what we want and we are refusing to take responsibility for them, we're going to start to create a cycle of suffering within a victim mentality that believes that while we are entitled to a beautiful life, we are not really addressing some things underneath that are preventing us from getting it, So we're suffering because we're not getting it. So let me see if I can explain this a little bit better by sharing a little bit of a personal story. My story sort of relates to why I created this program, and I believe that personally it's important for me to work with people in evolving their mentality, especially if anyone has come from a situation which was extremely taxing and stressful or traumatic for them in their early life. It's very important to me to work with people in evolving their minds and their mentality so that they can get out from under any limitation or any pain or any suffering or any stress that they're experiencing so that they can create the lives that they want. I'm very passionate about that. And I believe that the victim mentality and the mentality of lack, limitation, scarcity, and fear, which is basically the four hallmarks of the victim mentality, is you're always thinking of lack, limitation, scarcity, and fear. I believe that I'm passionate about that because I have a lot of experience in that department. I'll share a little bit about that. Whenever I was growing up, the situation was very taxing. There were some things going on in the home that needed to be worked through. And so as a result of that, the experience and the environment, how I perceived it and what I took from it, it was very taxing for me. It took a lot out of me. It was very stressful. So that being said, I believed as I became a 20-something that because my early experience was so taxing and was so difficult and really, you know, left me in a bit of a funk, I believed that the beautiful adult life would just be delivered one day. Okay? I thought, you know, there's got to be a perfectly good explanation for all this. And I'm certain that because the early years were so tricky and really, really took a lot out of me, I'm sure that this beautiful adulthood is just a matter of time. It'll be delivered. So I was around 27 years old whenever I really started to believe this and I really started to think it. And around that time, 27 came and went, and my mentality and my programming and my paradigm and, you know, how I view the world, I was doing some work on myself, but I wasn't doing work at the level that I have been recently. So I really wasn't changing who I was at a core level at all. I was just wanting a life different from what I saw around me, but I wasn't really doing anything to get it. I wasn't doing anything differently. So there I was, 27 years old. I was convinced that any day my life would be fabulous. I was living in New York City. I was making, you know, barely any money. I was single. And I was pursuing a career that was very difficult and wasn't really panning out. It wasn't being handed to me. And so I was just waiting, you know, one day at a time. I felt entitled. I felt entitled to a better life, and I just kept waiting for it to get delivered. So 30 years old came and went, and that life did not quite show up. And at that point, right around 31, I started to get suspicious. I was like, okay, what's happening? Not only did I have such an intense situation to survive through in the early life, but now here I am, a 30-year-old adult, and life is still not showing me what I'm wanting, and life is still not giving me all the things that I know that people can have. So it was around 31 years old that I started resenting those who had it. I felt entitled. Like anyone who was happily married, financially successful, healthy, fit, treating themselves well, and enjoying love and had a nice community, had nice friends, I felt like all of them owed that all those things to me. I was resenting those who had it and felt that I was entitled for them to give it to me. Okay? This was sort of the mentality that I was functioning in. And so I was avoiding personally creating a successful life for myself because of what I thought it would entail. Like, I just didn't want to do the work. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but a lot of my clients have come to me and said that. Why they have resisted doing the work is because when it comes down to it, if we look inside and see some things that we're uncomfortable with or that feel painful or that we don't understand and we avoid them, it's because we believe that they are going to be more painful than where we are now. So here's the good news, okay? I'll tell you from my own experience that I was so convinced that taking responsibility for myself was going to be more painful than where I was, which is a complete lie. But I was so convinced that getting up and taking control of my life would have been worse than where I was, that I stayed in my discomfort, in my pain, and in my living situation, in my life, the way that it was going in Los Angeles up until 2 years ago. I stayed there until literally the roof and the floors were ripped out from under me. And I'm saying that for real, like seriously. I lived in a townhouse where the roof actually caved in, like a man fell through it while he was up there doing some work. So the roof had to be redone. And meanwhile, the landlord decided it was time to refloor the house. So it was such a sign in that moment in my life. I realized that what I was doing, I knew if I was doing it, there had to be thousands upon thousands of people who was doing it, who are doing it. And it's perpetuating a mentality that I want a life that is out there that I can't reach and I don't know how to go get it and someone needs to bring it to me. So it was around that time, about 2 years ago, that I woke up in such a deep and intense way with a message, and it was, it is time to rearrange how your spirit does business in the world. Okay. And it doesn't mean just business of going to get a job. It's how your spirit does business in the world on every level, how you're functioning as a person, and most importantly, how you're functioning inside and how you're treating yourself and the mentality that you're running inside your own mind. Because whenever we have a victim mentality, we have some pain, we have some experiences that are inside of us that we've internalized, and these experiences need healing. And it's so critical and crucial and urgent for us to give voice to these experiences, because we are the only ones who can hear them. We're the only ones that can hear these parts of ourselves that need to speak to us. So we have to be there for them. We have to be the ones for them to listen to. All right? So after that experience where the roof of my house was being ripped off and basically the floors were being ripped out, I was like, obviously this is, you know, I'm no longer welcome here. I'm being forced into a life where I'm going to have to now go and figure it out and take responsibility for myself. And it didn't take very long for that to shift from now I'm going to have to go and do it to, oh my God, I get to go and live life now. And there were some very key paradigm shifts and some perspective shifts that happened in me based on the work that I was pursuing, the self-improvement work that I was pursuing, and the healing work that I was pursuing, that within it, you know, within moments, my life went from literally sitting in a house with no roof and, you know, no floors to moving across country and immersing myself in a culture and a community of friends and dynamic people and supportive people and starting to study a whole new career. And all of these things just sort of fell into place. And there was one moment when it happened. And it just sort of, this successful momentum sprung from it. And it was the moment of deciding that this is it. I get it. I am the one that I've been waiting for. I am the one who is to provide me with everything that I want. If not me, who? And the point there, and what I really want you to get tonight, is that no matter what it is that you want in your life, no matter what it is, where you are, who you are, what you have been through, you are meant to be the most powerful person you know. And if something or anything has happened to you in your life that has rocked that core sense of integrity and strength and authenticity within you, you do not have to go through a painful, arduous experience to get yourself back. My personal transformation happened within a matter of minutes. So transformation is instantaneous, and then change work and changing your environment to support that can take time. That is what the program that I'm offering that's coming up in a couple, in a, like a, I think 2 weeks. It's about training and retraining and recreating an environment that's actually going to support the mental transformations that can happen instantly around your mentality. Because mentality and shifting and perspective shifting, all this stuff happens really quick. So you'll be able to understand things on a new level once we're in session and once we're talking about and going through the concepts in these next 3 calls. You'll be able to understand things intellectually and consciously on a new level, But then allowing them to safely integrate into your cells of your body so that you really get it, so that your life can really start to change, that is going to take an environmental shift. An environmental shift is going to take a little bit more time than instantaneous. So we want to come at change from both angles so that you can really be sure to, if you are someone who's in a stuck place, maybe you're not taking the best care of yourself. Maybe you have a pretty destructive self-care routine, or you're avoiding yourself a little bit, or you have some ancient feelings that you need to heal. Maybe you're not earning the amount of money that you want. So anywhere that there's results in your life that it's not really working, what we are going to do with the work within these three calls and then the six-week program is we're going to get to the bottom of that. We're going to change it intellectually in a very quick way, and then we're going to change the environment in your life to then support the change. A lot of times whenever we make wonderful changes, if you've ever like read a great book or you've gone to a weekend seminar that's motivational or a transformational seminar or something really motivating or inspiring, you'll ride off the high of that sometimes for even up to a month. But then you'll find that life change hasn't happened, and that's usually because the environment that you live in hasn't changed. And I don't necessarily mean your physical environment. I mean the environment in your mind. So the main purpose of victim to visionary is taking us from an inherited mentality and moving us into a chosen mindset. And while new concepts can be understood intellectually within a split second, in order for them to integrate into your life, to shift how your life goes so that you actually change the way that your life is flowing around you from the inside out, that takes more time. So no matter what experiences you've been through in life, I'm here to tell you that you can and you are meant to be the most powerful person that you know. No matter what has happened to you in your life, every single one of us must reach a moment where we fully decide 1,000% take it on, to take ourselves on, and to take full responsibility for ourselves. Having responsibility for ourselves makes us the richest people that we are, the richest people that we know. So not only are you meant to be the most powerful person you know, but you're also meant to be the richest person you know. And this is all capable and possible through the mentality and the thoughts that you think on a daily basis. So when we refuse to take responsibility for ourselves, I just want to recap on that. That is where our victim mentality is born. When we're avoiding parts of ourselves that are uncomfortable or parts of ourselves that we don't understand, suppressing these things and resisting them causes them to persist. And if we ignore them, they go stronger, and sooner or later they dominate our life. So if you are telling a happy story to the world, and if you're like, yeah, I'm doing good, I'm fine, everything's great, and you're telling a happy story, but inside and around you, for real, the story is not going so well, I just want you to know it doesn't have to be that way. There is a way out of anything that you have going on, and 99% of it is a perspective shift and a paradigm shift and reframing how you're seeing things, okay? So I'm just going to go to one area here. Give me a second. Whenever we start to recognize that it's time and we're ready to stand in our life in a new and empowered way, or we're just sick and tired and exhausted of living, you know, a life that isn't really up to what we want. You know, whenever we get to that moment where we're like, this is it, I'm going to make a change. The very beginning of that process is we need to take an inventory, or we need to take an identity, like a self-assessment, so that we can see where we're functioning. And there's a very simple and easy process to do that. And we want to know what our perspective on things are. We want to know what paradigm is functioning for us. We want to know what programming we have running, because more often than not, if you're suffering in any way at all, if you're suffering, if you're feeling isolated, or if you're feeling like there's scarcity in the world and there's not enough, you're not earning what you want, you're not finding the love, you're not feeling nourished by a community, you're not treating yourself well or thinking well about yourself, if any of that's happening, I guarantee you that this is a signal and a sign that your perspective, your paradigm, and your programming, something in that triangle is not functioning for you. And not only is it not functioning for you, but it's probably not your own perspective, paradigm, or programming. You're probably functioning off of someone else's programming. That's all it is. Like, what a relief. All you need to do now is find the spot where your program is off or your perspective is off and nudge it a little bit. And the miraculous speed at which your life can shift when you make subtle shifts in the way that you see things, in the way that you believe, the way that you, what you believe about the world, or the framework that you choose to live in, the ideas that you choose to adapt into your mind, the positive ideas that you choose to repeat to yourself every day. When you get into these shifts, it's miraculous how quickly your life can truly start to transform. I believe that when I hit my first weekend of huge transformation with the work that I do now, I'm now an NLP practitioner. After my first weekend workshop, when I was going through my training to become a practitioner, I moved across, like, everything in my life changed. I let go of a relationship I was with. I changed careers, and I moved across country, all within about a week and a half. That is how much baggage and limitation and lack and scarcity and fear literally just fell away, just fell off me, fell out of my life, you know, almost instantly. And this can happen to you, too. That's why I'm so excited about it, and that's why I've worked so hard putting this together. So it's the beginning first step to making these kinds of changes is identifying where things are off. And there's a very simple process to do that. We also need to then identify what is going on within each individual, which is going to be a huge part of the program that I'm going to teach. We're going to identify, are you hurt or are you injured? This is what my coach used to always say when I was an athlete in high school. He used to say, if I was down, if we'd been running and I'd fallen, he'd say, are you hurt or are you injured? Because there's a difference. And so I want to ask you in life right now, if you have limitation, if the results that you're getting in your life are not what you're wanting in the area of self, how you feel about and relate to yourself, in the area of food, how is life nurturing you and nourishing you on every level, in the area of money, how are you supporting yourself? Are you believing in support and foundation and security, or are you believing in scarcity, lack, and limitation? And love, how are you connecting with the world and with others, with community, and are you finding a partner to spend your life with? So when I say, how are things working for you, and how is your life turning out, my first question is, are you hurt or are you injured? Are you hurt about something that we can process out of instantly and get you out from under that story? Or are you injured? Does deeper healing need to happen? A lot of times deeper healing does need to happen depending on the experiences you've had. And that's a wonderful thing. There's some amazing healers in the world. And I'll tell you that one of them is going to be part of the visionary course that I'm teaching. Her name is Emily Van Horn. She was scheduled to be on the call with us tonight. She canceled a little while ago, but she called me from bed. She has a horrible cold. Just hit her randomly. She says she never gets sick. So there must be something going around in LA where she lives. But Emily is a somatic trauma resolution therapist, and she works with the brain to discharge the shock response for people who've been through experiences that are very shocking or traumatic, which can be a car accident, a fall, abusive situations. It can be getting fired from a career transitions, divorce. All these things can be deeply traumatic to our nervous systems. And so that would be an instance where you would need healing from an injury. You know, we call those an injury in terms of like the emotional well-being. Other things that you could just be hurt for is that things that you've kind of gotten yourself into, you know, like if you keep dating the wrong people, but you know they're wrong for you and it keeps hurting you, well, you're hurt. You just need to change how you're functioning. So we identify whether or not we're hurt or we're injured. And we start to move through and strategize based on where each individual is at. Okay. So let's see. Where can we go from here? If anyone has any questions or wants to add anything to what I'm saying or wants to share anything about their personal experience, this is a really good time to do that. I have a little bit more that I want to share with you guys, and then I'm going to prep the call and get you guys ready for what we're going to do on Wednesday on the second call in this series, and then we're just going to wrap it up for the night. So basically, I just want to say that of the four quadrants, we have the self, which is you. It's all about you and who you are in the world and how you feel each day, who you surround yourself with, which job you hold, and that kind of thing. Like the self, it's the body, the mind, and the spirit, okay? That's one quadrant. And then the second quadrant that I'm going to focus on this week and for the following 6 weeks is the money quadrant, because that is where the biggest value distortions tend to be functioning for most of us, okay? So of the four quadrants, we have you and we have money, and those are my two focuses right now. So the money, the you quadrant, like I said, is the self. It's the body, mind, and spirit. And then the money quadrant is where the value distortion lives. So another big hallmark of victim mentality is that keeps the story of lack, limitation, separation, and scarcity, that story, a big factor that keeps that story running, that is usually uncovered when we are looking at whether or not you're hurt or you're injured, we're looking for a value distortion, okay? A value distortion. And a value distortion is something that happens whenever we experience something that shakes our stability at the core. And it results in leaving us with an energy in our body that makes us feel like we are less than whole. So we feel less than, and so the amount, we don't feel valuable at 100%, so our value is sort of distorted. For example, if you get into a car accident that gives you a very big blow, a very big whiplash, and before the car accident, you felt great. You were fully balanced, feeling 100%. After the car accident, the energy that you received during that traumatic blow knocked your balance off, let's say 25%. So now you're feeling about 75%. So unless you address that trauma that happened to your body and your being, you will then walk through the world with feeling about 75% of your whole and yourself, and ultimately this exact kind of experience is a perfect example to show us how we can move through the world feeling incomplete, feeling not good enough, feeling like we don't deserve what we really want, feeling like bad about ourselves. This can result in low self-esteem. So all of these things can sort of come from simple experiences that we have in the world. This is how they then translate into our lives whenever we try to get on with our lives and make successes happen. This is exactly how it works. These things are stored in our bodies. There's a little bit of background noise. I just want to make sure that the recording's really clear for anyone who's not on it. So I'm not sure if there's anyone out there who wants to mute their line that maybe has a little bit of background noise. You can mute your line by pressing *6. So basically, when we talk about food, money, and love, we're basically focusing for the next few weeks. Our focus is going to be purely on the self, which is the body, mind, spirit, and the money piece, okay? Because those are, I believe, the top priorities and the best place to start when we're going to heal the value distortion. Okay, so we're going to move into just a little bit of more information, and then we're going to wrap up the call for tonight. Let's see. Whenever we start to do the work and work on the victim mentality, I always get a lot of interesting questions emailed in. So let's see if there's anyone out there who has any questions on anything I've said tonight. The basic point of tonight's call is to give you a really clear understanding about where, if you are, or if you do feel like, you know, the word victim mentality, if it is resonating for you, I really just want you to know that it. I wanted everyone tonight to really understand where it could be coming from. You know, we can even be functioning. Like I had a pretty bad car accident in high school, and separate from any other experiences that I've had in life, if I have a sense of lack and limitation in life today, it could even be from that car accident. I can still be holding on to some energies from that. So my main point with tonight's call was I just wanted to really illuminate all the different ways and all the different reasons and ways that victim mentality could have gotten into our lives, how to identify if it is functioning there, and to really, really let everyone on the call and everyone who listens to the recording to really, really let you know that it is a simple thing to transition out of. It is not a big, you know, a big elaborate process. We want to do it gently and slowly so that we make sure that we change the environment along with the transition, but shifting out of lack and limitation and scarcity and fear into power and self-esteem and confidence and success and outcomes and being able to envision the life that we want and truly create it, going through that process and learning how to do that is a really wonderful and easy and remarkably quick process. So know that there is a way to do it and know that you can do it and know that I'm here to help with that, and that is exactly what I'm, you know, my expertise is. It's completely devoted to that. I want you guys also during this week, if any of you who are on the call, if you have any questions about anything that I'm talking about and want to have a private call with me, please feel free to call me at any time. I see I have a couple questions up. Let me see. Is there Charles? You can go ahead and star 6 your line. Or maybe star 7 is going to unmute you.
Okay, there we go.
Hi, thank you. How are you? Who's this?
This is Howard.
Hi, Howard.
Yeah, I'm calling from a landline, so that's why I showed up as Charles.
Oh, okay. How are you, Howard? So nice to have you.
Yeah, awesome. I'm really enjoying your call. And, yeah, with the victim, it is. I think it's great that you chose that label as victim because it's a metaphor, you know. And when we think of victim, we often create this visual or we think of somebody, you know, who had played the victim, and that's kind of who we're modeling after, this experience that we had in our life or just the experience that we had personally and then we felt being attacked. And it's such, you said it, it takes an instant to be able to shift from victim to a visionary solely because of what we're focusing on. So I know from my experiences, just using more empowering, like archetypes, like Nierka had talked about, you know, if it's a warrior archetype or who is an archetype that can get me out of the victim mentality and into a visionary, and even having that, the archetype as a visionary, you know, a seer, somebody who creates as they speak, and how, you know, how would I have to behave? What would I have to focus on? And how would I have to speak in order to be a visionary? You know, what would be the characteristics, like what you were talking about, to become that visionary? So I agree 100% that it's just a matter of focus.
I love it. Yes, yes, Howard, absolutely.
And just real quick, too, I there was a life coach that I had interviewed last year when I was first starting out. And he gave me the time to answer some questions for me, and talking about living in lack and not living in abundance and scarcity and stuff. And I went to finally meet this guy in person, and I show up at his business, and I told him I'm just beginning my mentoring services myself, and just going around the local Santa Clarita offices and getting to know people and making connections and offering my services. If there's anything I can do to help, give me a call. And he looks at me and he goes, how can you possibly help me? And I thought, wow. And I said, well, you know, we're in similar industries and I can't help everybody. If there's somebody I feel, you know, can benefit from somebody else, you know, I would love to have somebody to share them with. And he goes, well, I'm well established, you know, and good luck, because this is a highly competitive field. And I had to really practice everything that I learned and stand grounded and not feel like a victim and being attacked and just know who I was and my purpose, being on purpose there. And I said, well, look, if you ever need help with research, if there's anybody I could ever connect you with, you know, that can help you out too, this is what I'm offering. And he finally was able to open up a little bit and understand why I was there. But talk about living in lack and scarcity, I thought this guy was a perfect example. And I'm not here to take away business. I'm here to share, brother.
That's interesting, Howard. What was his business?
He's a life coach.
Oh, you went to see a life coach and you were just sort of wanting to build community and build connection with him, and he had a defensive sort of lack and limited response to you. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. The one thing that kept coming out was, you know, this is really competitive and I wish you luck. And I'm thinking, I understand businesses can be competitive, but I'm not here to compete. I have a message and I want to get this message out to people, and I want to connect with people with like messages, you know, to help people grow from lack to abundance. So
what's really screaming out, I think, which is a really awesome point that we can make on the call right now, is how much his paradigm of the world was obvious.
Yeah.
You know, the world that he lives in, he spoke it. He said, you know, he was saying to you, basically, in no uncertain terms, he was saying, the world that I live in is X, Y, or Z. And when you start to make these shifts and really improve your life from and heal your perspective of the world, you can stand in front of people, and I know this happens for you, Howard, you can stand in front of people, and just by listening to the way that they talk, you can completely understand how their mind works entirely, because they will tell you all of their limitations and all of their fears just in the language they speak. So he was telling you basically everything that holds him back.
Yeah.
That he has decided what's going to hold him back. He's telling you, I've decided that these five things are going to hold me back. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just interesting. I think that the way that you approached him was really beautiful, because you have a different, you know, you believe in community and you believe in sharing and sort of helping each other and creating peer groups out of people who have similar missions and similar messages in life work. How's that going? How's it going with him? I'm curious to know. Do you still have a relationship, or? Not sure if I lost you, Howard, but not hearing you. Let's see. Nope. Howard, if you can hear me, I think your call went on to mute. So let's just get back on track a little bit and see if anyone else has raised their hand, and maybe take a question or two and then wrap the call up for tonight. I want to frame our call for Wednesday right now so that you guys can prepare for everyone who's going to come back and do the second the two other calls that are coming up next. We are basically going to do on Wednesday, we're going to really get in touch with what things, I want you to think of one thing in each area of the four quadrants, one thing about yourself, one thing about your food, or let's call it, you know, your lifestyle and how your life nurtures you or nourishes you, your money, and your love. I want you to just start thinking. Don't write anything down. Don't get too intense about it. But between now and our call on Wednesday night, I want everyone on the call to think about one thing in each area of life that you've wanted to achieve for over 5 years that you have yet to achieve. Okay? go ahead and start thinking about that. And we're gonna speak to that on our next call when we're all together, so that we can start to get to the bottom of some of these things that we are wanting, so that we can maybe shift some people live on the call out of their perspective. I think that would be really great to work with some people on Wednesday. On Wednesday, I think I'm also going to have a couple of special guests with us, some of the people who are going to be the bonuses in the 6 month, in the 6 week program. So we're going to want to have, be sure that you're there. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to have some good conversations. Okay, so homework for Wednesday, I'll just go ahead and repeat it, is that we are going to want to think of one thing in each area of life that you've wanted to achieve for at least 5 years. Alrighty? So if anyone else has any other questions, go ahead and raise your hand by pressing star 2. Otherwise, I think we're getting to a spot where we can start to wrap up. It's been about an hour. I don't want to keep you guys. I want to thank you to each one of you who has called in tonight. I'm so happy and so grateful to have you here on the line, sharing this information and growing and being committed to self-change. Being able to see your life as the visionary that you were born to be is simply a matter of choice. If it's something that you're choosing for yourself, then I've created an amazing container and an amazing course to help you to solidify the environment that you will grow in and continue to grow in. And I want to offer that to you. So I'm very excited that you're here, being a part of this visionary community. And I look forward to speaking to you, all of you, at some point during this week. Please raise your hands and ask questions and get involved. And then I look forward to taking a few of you with me on the journey for the 6 weeks. All right. If anyone else has anything, go ahead and email me. You can call me. You can email me if you have any questions during the week. We can hop on a call if you have any private issues that you want to bring up that we can address on the call. Otherwise, thank you to everyone for showing up tonight. It's been a really pleasure to have you, and I look forward to seeing you all back here on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to unmute everyone, so if anyone wants to say goodbye, you can do it now. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you all back here next time.